We shall now turn to the book of Hebrews and chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And our text for this evening is verse 22. Hebrews 11, verse 22. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Now, this chapter is, of course, the great chapter about faith. It begins with the words, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith gives substance to our hopes. Faith gives us confidence with regard to the future. Many people have a vague and dreamy hope that all will be well, that maybe they'll get to heaven at the end of the day. Hopefully nothing bad will happen to them. But faith is the substance of things hoped for. It makes our hopes substantial, and it gives confidence with regard to the future. Faith is vital. That's one message that comes across throughout the whole of the Bible. There's nothing so important as faith. What must I do to be saved? Faith. Believe. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. By grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. By grace, through faith, not of yourselves. God's gift, God's grace, and yet faith is there. God makes with us a covenant. He enters into a relationship with us. You know how marriage is a covenant relationship. You have two people and they come together and they make a certain commitment to one another. They enter into a marriage covenant. They make promises to each other, vows. And hopefully they keep these vows. Well, that's a kind of picture of God's relationship to us. He promises, I will be a God to you and to your seed after you. But there's one condition. Faith. And in the Old Testament, God made that covenant with Israel. And the sign, the token of the covenant, the seal of the righteousness which is by faith, was circumcision. And all the Israelites were circumcised and marked out as covenant people. But they got no blessing. No covenant blessing reached them unless they believed. Faith was the condition. It's essential. And it's the same in the New Testament. Faith is essential. Now, came across something quite interesting today. There's no word for trust in the religions of the Near and Middle East. The religions of Baal worship and Dagon and Bel and Nebo and the various gods of the Middle East. They had no word for trust. Why? Because their God was capricious. But trust is vital and central to biblical religion. Because God is the very opposite of capricious. He is, I am that I am, the unchanging, sovereign, totally dependable God, the God who is our rock, the God who will never let you down, the God who is totally predictable, because He always acts according to His own nature and according to His own word. Now in this chapter, we're given many examples of faith. We're told lots about Enoch, who walked with God and he was not, for God took him. Noah, who built an ark for the saving of his household. Abraham, various things about Abraham, who listened to the call of God. And Abraham, who believed the promises. We're told lots about Moses, chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. But there's just one verse about Joseph. It is rather interesting, considering that there's 13 chapters in the book of Genesis about Joseph. Just one verse. Joseph was a great man of God. In fact, we're told nothing negative about Joseph, unlike so many of the other great saints in Scripture. Joseph was so faithful. Joseph was a man of God from his childhood. Joseph was the savior of the church. Joseph was the savior of the world at the time. He's a type of Christ. But only one verse here in Hebrews, his funeral arrangements. And these verses, this one verse based on the three last verses in the book of Genesis. But then, these funeral arrangements are so significant, so important, and so illustrative, actually, of the whole life of Joseph. Because they show that Joseph believed the word of God. And he acted on his belief. He believed the prophecies that he was given by God. He took God at his word. And there we have the essence of faith. What is faith? Taking God at His word. Believing the Scriptures. Believing the promises of God. Now let's look at this together in a bit of detail tonight. First, I would like us to think about the trials and triumphs of Joseph's faith. We're not told when Joseph was first converted. He had to be converted because all of us are born sinners. He had to be born again. Some people think that the new birth is just something that belongs to the New Testament age. But no. Jesus said to Nicodemus, who was under the old dispensation, he said, "You must be born again. And except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven." There's no way you can enter the kingdom unless you're born again. And what really is the new birth? It's simply God the Holy Spirit coming to live in your heart and applying to you the redemption that in the Old Testament Christ was going to purchase, and in the New Testament the redemption that He has purchased for us. The Holy Spirit applies to us the salvation that Christ worked out at Calvary. He did it retrospectively in the Old Testament, just as He does it in the lives of you and I today. Now, Joseph was born into a covenant family, the child of Rachel and Jacob. He was circumcised at 8 days of old. His parents were claiming God's covenant mercies for him. And then as he grew a bit older himself, he claimed these mercies for himself. It would seem that faith came at a very early age in his life. There was no going astray, as it were. There was no sowing his wild oats. But from a very early stage, grace was evident in him, and he was enabled to put his faith in Jesus Christ. So as a young boy, he was godly. He stood for what is right, stood against the sins and the wickedness of his brothers, rebuked them for it when they wouldn't listen. He told his father about it. He was concerned for their good, for their soul's salvation, but they hated him for it. Just as so often down through the centuries, God's people are persecuted. Cain persecuted Abel, his brother, and murdered him. And the seed of the serpent has been persecuting the children of God ever since then. So they hated him. But God gave to him wonderful revelations. God gave to him dreams and told him what was going to happen in the future. Told him how his brothers would come and bow before him. Revealed to him in a dream how he was out in the field reaping corn with his brothers, and their sheaves bowed down to his sheaf. Revealed to him how the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed to him, even his father and mother. He told his dreams to his brothers, and they hated him. They hated him more. They hated God and God's word and God's revelation. They were resentful and jealous and spiteful towards him. And so you remember how they threw him in a pit, contemplating murdering him. And then they sold him to be a slave to the Ishmaelites. How hard it must have been for him, going through these experiences. Taken down to the land of Egypt, sold to Potiphar, working hard in Potiphar's house as a slave, very different from the royal presence that he had in his father's house. You remember the coat of many colors, the royal coat that was put upon him. But now he's a slave. But he worked hard in Potiphar's house and was accepted. And Potiphar could see God's grace in his life and was attracted in some ways to his honesty and his integrity and his efficiency. But Potiphar's wife then cast her eyes upon him. But by faith and by grace he resisted Potiphar's wife. He overcame that horrible temptation. But she, in her spite, accused him falsely, and so he ended up in prison. How hard that must have been. All these great promises that God had made, these wonderful revelations of the future. And instead of the revelations working out, instead of him being in this high position, he finds himself in the most horrible position that you could imagine. A slave, and then in a slave's prison. And yet, he didn't despair. He didn't blaspheme. He didn't rebel against God, but continued faithfully waiting upon God. By faith he endured, even when he was put in irons in the land of Egypt, his feet in fetters. He trusted God. You remember how he was enabled to interpret the dreams of the butler and the baker. And he told the chief butler how he was going to be released in 3 days. And asked him, please don't forget me. I've been unjustly imprisoned. Try and get me out of here. But the butler forgot him. But he continued to look to God. He waited on God. And of course, God's plan is always good. We're not dependent upon people, on their memories or anything else. At the end of the day, we're dependent on the Lord. And then we remember how Pharaoh had his dream. The dream about the seven cows coming out of the Nile. 7 big fat cows. And then after them came 7 very skinny cows. And the skinny cows gobbled up the fat ones. And they were still skinny. And he woke. And then he had another dream. 7 big lush ears of corn. And then 7 miserable blasted ears of corn, thin and shriveled up. And these 7 miserable ears of corn ate up the 7 fat ones. Pharaoh's dreams. He asked for people to interpret. He knew that there was something special. He knew that the supernatural was revealing something to him. So he asked for help in interpreting these dreams. But nobody in Egypt seemed able to help him. No one was coming up with an explanation. And then the butler remembered Joseph. And so Joseph was called. The turning point had come. Joseph came, trusted God to help him. And God helped him interpret the dreams of Pharaoh, explaining how there would be 7 years of prosperity, great prosperity, and then 7 years of terrible famine. And then he gave his advice that somebody should be appointed who would gather together the riches of these harvests in the years of plenty and store them up for the years of famine. And Pharaoh chose Joseph. And so Joseph was appointed. And Joseph kept on believing, kept on trusting, kept on following. And during these 7 years of plenty, gathered and gathered and gathered, buying corn in abundance and storing it for the years of famine that he knew would come. And so he became the savior of the land of Egypt. And eventually the savior of his brothers and his father. He was made prime minister of Egypt. All the time he believed God. He believed his word. He believed his promises. Through good report and evil report, he kept on believing. Through the trials and triumphs of his life, he was a man of faith. Joseph's faith. Are we those who keep on believing, even when things go wrong, when troubles come along, when difficulties beset us, when it seems God's not answering our prayers, when people mock us and ridicule us and despise us and hurt us and abuse us and seduce us? What are we doing? Are we standing steadfast believing, or are we ready to give up and despair? But then next, we notice how Joseph made mention of the departing of the children of Israel out of Egypt. By this time, Israel was well established in Egypt, in the land of Goshen, the best part of Egypt. They were favored by the king, the Israelites. Joseph was next to the king as ruler of Egypt, and so the Israelites were becoming wealthy and prosperous. Joseph's own family was growing. He had his 2 sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And these 2 sons were given the position of tribe leaders, tribe fathers in Jacob's family. Joseph was given in that sense the position of the firstborn, a double portion of the inheritance. And the rest of the children of Joseph were named on Ephraim and Manasseh. And Joseph himself saw the fourth generation of his children. Wealthy, prosperous, successful, he became eventually a great, great grandfather. And he lived to the remarkable age of 110. But he doesn't become worldly and thoughtless and careless. Adversity didn't destroy his faith, and neither did prosperity. He continues as a man of faith, not worldly, not sitting back, not valuing wealth and luxuries, but looking into the future, thinking of the church, thinking of the Israel of God and their future and their prosperity, their welfare. That's what concerns him. He believes the word of God. God had revealed to Abraham. Remember in Genesis 15, now God revealed to Abraham how his family would go down to Egypt and be oppressed there. And yet, after 400 years, they would return. And then they would be given the land of Canaan, because by that stage, the wickedness of the Amorites would have reached its fullness, and they would be destroyed. And Israel would be given their land. God had revealed to Jacob also how he should, yes, he should, just as Joseph said, go down to Egypt, but how the Israelites would eventually return. So Joseph believes the word of God. He believes that the land of Canaan will be the land of promise, where eventually the Israelites will be placed. He believes God's word. Do you believe in a better country? He sought a city that hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Or are you content with the city that's here, the life that's here, clinging to it, thinking that all the joys and the pleasures of this world are all that matters? How quickly these things pass. But what then? When death comes, where do we go? It's amazing how quickly and unexpectedly death can come. You've all heard about that MP in a surgery just this last week. Surprisingly attacked and murdered. Quickly ushered into eternity. How quickly it can happen. Who knows the day or the hour. But then if we have Christ, we need not worry. If God has prepared for us a country, a land flowing with milk and honey, we do need to worry about this world. There's the better country ahead. So Joseph made mention of the departing of Israel from Egypt. And then finally we notice that he gave commandment concerning his bones. Funerals were very important to the patriarchs. Remember Abraham, he had a long married life to beautiful Sarah. They got on so well together. They loved one another deeply. And yet, the day came when Sarah died. And there was Abraham grieving. But yet, he had to bury her, to bury his dead out of his sight. And so he went and he bought a field and a cave from Ephraim the Hittite, the cave of Machpelah in Mamre, as a burying place. And there he buried Sarah. There he was buried himself. There Isaac was buried. There Jacob buried Leah. Jacob himself, you remember, how he was 17 years in the land of Egypt. But although he was that length of time in the land of Egypt, there was only one place that he wanted to be buried in the cave of Machpelah in Mamre, in the Promised Land. He made Joseph swear that he wouldn't bury him in Egypt. And again, the verses we read at the end of chapter 49, he spoke to his sons and he said, "You must take me and bury me with Abraham and with Isaac and with Leah there in the land of promise, the land of Canaan." His home was not in Egypt. He made Joseph promise to bury him there. And so when he died, we read concerning the great funeral that he had, the great procession that took place, and how all the horses and chariots of Egypt and the great men of Egypt accompanied them, and his sons buried him there in the cave of Machpelah. But Joseph was different. Joseph could have said, "Bury me also with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Carry me up." But he said, "No, I don't want that. I want my bones to be kept in the land of Egypt. I want my body to be embalmed and placed in a coffin, and you, the Israelites, to look after my coffin. And then, when God brings you out of Egypt, I want you to carry me through the wilderness and to take me up. I want to be part of the Exodus. And I want to be part of the possessing of the Promised Land." What do we learn from this? Well, we learn that he certainly believed the promises. He believed the word of God. He had faith in God's word. He was sure that Israel would leave Egypt. He believed that promise. But also, he felt responsible for taking them into Egypt. So he wanted to share in the Exodus. But there's something else. He wanted his bones to be there as a testimony to the Israelites, a message to them, generation after generation. What's in that box? What's in that coffin? That's Joseph's bones. Why are they there? Why are they kept? Why are they not being buried? Oh, it's because one day we're all going to leave the land of Egypt. And Joseph wants to be part of it. And he wants his bones to be carried up in the Exodus. There were his bones as a testimony to Israel. And he wanted to share with the people of God. To share with them leaving Egypt. To share with them the 40 years in the wilderness. And finally, to settle in the land of promise. Exodus chapter 13, verse 19 tells us how Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. And Joshua 24, verse 32 tells how these bones were buried in the plot of ground that Jacob bought from Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith takes God at his word, believes God, believes the promises of God, and believes on the testimony of God himself, and believes because of the witness of the Holy Spirit with the truth. There are three that bear witness on earth: the Spirit and the water and the blood. The Spirit. How does the Spirit bear witness? Through the Bible, the Scriptures, the written Word of God, written by the Holy Spirit. And then as you read the Scriptures, the Spirit witnesses, testifies, illuminates your heart, convinces you of the truth. The Spirit and the water and the water and blood flowing from the side of Christ. Blood to atone, water to purify. John bear witness to these things. He saw it and he believed. He gave commandment concerning his bones. And so Joseph speaks to you and me today. And he's saying, will you believe? Will you receive God's word? Will you trust God? That vital word, trust. Faith is not some mere notional thing. It involves trust. Trusting God and acting upon what he says. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we thank thee for the great testimonies that we have in Scripture. We thank thee for the heroes of faith. We thank thee for the grace that was given to men like Joseph, for the work of the Holy Spirit in their hearts and lives, and that they were enabled to receive the Word of God and act upon it and live their lives based upon that sure foundation of the Scriptures. We thank thee that thy word, all Scripture, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So enable us to receive thy word, to accept it and to follow it. For Jesus' sake, amen.